I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network. Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys Small Screen Scares, a mini-series where three cowardly friends discuss horror television. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And this episode we watch The Haunting of Hill House, Episode 7, Eulogy.
Sean, I think you said a couple of episodes ago that you get peak scares at Bent Neck Lady.
Yeah.
And then it's just Heart City.
Yeah.
Mm. And you get...
Scattered with scares.
Scattered with scares, but yeah. the scares kind of hit a crescendo and then still happen later on, but it's not the tone of it. Not this these two episodes, Back to Back 6, which we talked about last episode, and then this one, this is just Heart City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The scares can't hurt you as much anymore unless they're in the next episode and they're the biggest scare of your entire fucking
yeah,
life.
Correct.
Outside of that, though, yeah, because your heart's hurting too much, I think.
Yeah. You just get just beautiful heartbreak. And at this point, I guess, what, you're 7 episodes in,
mm-hmm.
and I guess this is the benefit of TV over film for this, is you've now had 7 episodes to understand and empathize and care about, if not all of the Cranes, at least one or two of them personally. Like, everyone will watch this and have a different Crane that they care about, so that you, at some point, that Crane's going to get hurt or that Crane's going to go through something awful.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to deal with that. So you're connected. So no matter what happens from here on out, you're fucked.
Do you think it's a bit of the movie thing where you've had so much exposure to the monster, to the ghost, that the effect of it is somewhat worn off? And so now, like, if you're making a horror show, maybe just do 5 or 6 episodes. But the beauty of this one, and the only reason this one works, is because you're so invested in character.
I think so.
If you didn't like the characters and you weren't emotionally invested, then this show would, I think, really drag along.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But it fucking works completely.
Well, I actually think it does well in what a good horror should do, where you're more than just the scares, where you've got some more meat on the bone.
Yep.
And that's what this one does, where you're like, yeah, I've been scared and I'll continue to be scared, but agreed, not to the same quantities. But I'm so invested now.
Yeah.
And I think even horror movies should get to that point where by, you know, that second act turn into the third act, you're just invested. You're like, I'm not even so worried about the scares. I care about my characters at this point and I need to know what happens to them.
Yeah.
Rather than caring about yourself in that moment.
Yeah, you're right. Because often characters make dumb choices and stuff. And so you get to the end and you're like, yeah, how are they going to die?
Right.
Whereas it should be, please God, don't let them die.
Yes.
I love that character.
Yes.
Let them live.
Yeah. Yes. I'm worried about them. Where at the start, I'm so worried about me being scared.
That's right.
Yeah, that's moved to the background now.
Yeah.
And
that's
great. I think the other thing too on that is the scares pivot to that, but they also pivot because you start to learn that what those scares equal in terms of like story beats. So it's like anytime it's nighttime at Hill House, you're like, fuck, here we go.
Yeah.
Anytime you, particularly once you get through the next couple of episodes, anytime you see certain ghosts, you're like, oh, fuck, that's bad.
Yeah.
Like it all starts to like build and build. So the scares come from not just the scares themselves and the fear of what's going to happen to these characters that you care about, but also what it means story-wise, because we've seen these things happen.
Yeah.
So, you know that something's going to happen when they're burying Nell. You assume maybe you'll see Nell. But then when you see Nell and she says, go, meaning get away from, and then...
Right.
Well, when I first watched it, I assume she means get away from the grave, because then Olivia pops up and is like, stay, please stay.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I realize, no, it's Nell doing that thing where she's not quite in time, you know, that whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's saying, go, like, get out of the room.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're coming in. By being near this grave, by being near the ghost of mum, you're
like
going to try
into the red room.
You're going to come into the red room, so you need to get out. You need to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck. But here's the question. Does that make Luke think, go, I need to go to you?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, yeah, the bent neck lady, everything is like, you could look at it from both ways.
Yeah.
Which is heartbreaking and horrifying.
Yeah, of course. And
yeah, perfect character.
And again, furthering that thing of these guys are not good at communicating.
Nah. Yeah, yeah.
It's not Nell's fault. She's dead. She's trying to fucking
Come on.
No one's listening to her whole fucking life.
That's very true.
The more of the show you watch, the more you go, I don't think it's anyone's fault, because it's just the house is hungry and the house gets what it wants.
Yeah.
Sort of thing,
Yeah. It's one of the things I find most interesting about this episode. It is Hugh focused. Mm. So we fill in more gaps. We learn about what happens immediately after they leave.
Yeah.
And him going back and then him kind of talking to the police, and they're like, what happened in those, is it 3 hours?
Mm. Yeah, 3 hours.
What happened in those 3 hours, Hugh? You need to tell us. And he's like just not cooperating. And you're like, right. No one of the kids is so fucked up. He's not telling anyone anything.
Yes.
Yeah. There's not enough evidence to say he did something. But also, you understand why some of the kids hate him, because as the cop says, she got a bang on the back of her head. She's got marks on her arms. She's like, she was pushed, like she was grabbed.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you do anything? Like,
yeah, the more you learn in the series, the more you look at it from all the kids' point of view, and you go, unless you wholeheartedly believe in ghosts, you 100% would think my dad killed my mum.
Yeah.
Because, like, what other reason is there?
Yeah, exactly right. As well as it's like, young Hugh is a good dad. He's a good husband. He's trying to fix this broken fucking house.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a lot of empathy for him, because really we haven't seen him do anything wrong.
Mm.
And I think you're right, because for this episode, I really got into the kid's mindset of, like, even if he didn't do it, he knows something and he's not telling us. And he hasn't told us for, 30 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. He deprived us of something.
Right. The resentment that would build over that time is huge, because you don't understand why you wouldn't. Like, we are adults now. You need to tell us this. This is, like, look what us not knowing is doing. You know?
But it's interesting, because this whole episode for me is the first time that you see both parents not presented in a great light.
Mm.
Like, I know in it, we talk about how Olivia's lit throughout a lot of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think even just in all of their interactions and memories of their parents, the younger versions of them seem faultless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Hugh makes some mistakes here and there that, you know, Olivia gets a bit angry every now and again, and they do all that. But at the end of the day, they're these, like, perfect parents.
Mm-hmm.
And in this flashback, you see them fighting, you hear them talking about money. And it's all those things that you don't know happen between your parents when you're
yeah,
kids.
Yeah,
all those conversations that you're not privy to. And I could be wrong, but I feel like Olivia isn't lit the way she is in all those other. Like,
no, you're right.
Of them are.
Yeah, you're right.
They look a bit washed out.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not literally as rosy as the kids think.
They drained a bit of color out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well,
and I don't know whether that's because of the house or whether it's just because this is an actual memory of this is what things were like for them. It was flipping houses with five kids.
Yeah.
Fucking hard as shit.
Yes.
In that Jesus short Christ. Time frame too.
Yeah. And especially when that house. Just you keep finding more and more damage, which again we get in this episode with the water damage, which I loved. I also love this episode because it gives you some more history. Like, I love a mystery. It doesn't need to be a detective mystery. It can just be what happened back then, you know, which obviously this sets up hugely. And so we definitely don't get all the answers, nor should we. We're still three episodes away from the finish. But we do get, like, I love the history of the previous Hill owners of this house and getting some of that, as much as it's awful. I really enjoy that element of this episode as well.
Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's really good. And you get, like, again, for Hugh, he knows where the damage is coming from, but he can't get in.
Yes.
And you don't know it at this point, but as you sort of learn through the series, I'm pretty sure he's the only person who doesn't ever go into the Red Room.
Mm.
Accidentally.
I'm trying to think if we ever see him in a room that is never. Unfamiliar. And yeah, I don't think.
Yeah.
So that's interesting too, just the psychology of the house, not letting... He's the only one who doesn't get to see.
Yeah. And also by this point too, you've had all the seeds. Again, this show just starts breadcrumbing and it's building this big loaf of bread. We're filling in gaps. We're also getting little bits. The amount of times, I think, by this point that a child has mentioned the X room.
Right.
And Mrs. Dudley has gone, what room? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. It is subtle because I think they only do it twice in the series.
Yeah.
But it's, the second time it happens is in this ep.
Yeah.
I think it's... I can't remember who's doing the thing in this one.
Stephen's doing the dressing table thing.
Yeah.
That's the next episode.
Okay, yeah.
That's the next episode.
Oh, we're thinking of the next one with Mrs. Dudley. But that's a thing throughout the series where it's like, I found it in this room. And she's like, And this is a woman who, is dedicated to that house and knows every inch of that
house.
It's unsettling.
Yeah.
The cellar stuff is yuck. There's the... Just the fucking ghost just there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they don't even hide that one.
No.
Just his pale face just there.
Yeah. Watching them.
Hugh taking the photo and every time they lean in on the little eye hole, I'm just this is fucking no. Yep. And the fucking him talking about, you really put your hand in the fan there or whatever. And then him bringing a fan into work on and, of course, getting his hand stuck in it. I think for the previous few episodes, we've seen him with a wrapped up hand.
Yes.
So it's like, how does that happen? What's going to happen?
You know he's got a wrapped up hand when they're leaving the house.
Yeah.
And it's such a great mystery because you assume it happens that night.
Right.
Like something happens and he gets attacked.
Yeah.
No, it happens days earlier. But the problem is the minute you see him put that bandage on the hand and you recognize it from that first episode, you now go, right, the countdown's on.
We're on.
The timer has started. The bomb is going to go off. And his family's going to explode.
One of my favorite things on rewatch was Hugh's cracking the shits now. He's getting angry. This house is costing too much. So he goes to the red door with a screwdriver and starts trying to smash it open.
Right.
And then a few scenes later, Olivia's on top of him when he wakes up and she's holding that screwdriver to his throat. It's like the house saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, using the weapon he used on the house against him. Yeah. That's fucking great.
It's fucking good.
Yeah. Do you ever look at it and just go how hard would it be to remove a door?
Mm.
They spend so long trying to find a key for it.
Yeah.
If you're finally getting fed up with it, can't you just pull the hinges off? And I know we're in a supernatural situation.
Right.
But surely Hugh reaches a point where just get an axe, man, and just cut that fucker open.
He tries with a crowbar.
Yeah, he goes crowbar and screwdriver and hammer.
Mm.
But I don't know. Just cut it open.
It's going to sound insane. I don't think an axe would have worked.
I mean, it wouldn't have worked. Yeah. But just logically, I'm like, how come you don't do a normal method of just ripping the door off?
I guess he doesn't want to damage the door.
Yeah,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe he doesn't want to split. Because if it's a nice door, if you pry it open, you can still repair it, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you put an axe through it, they're flipping the house.
That's true. That's
I mean, it's pointless because it wouldn't have worked.
No.
Yeah.
Nah.
It would have just been bad anyway. Yeah. So we get the cellar stuff is really yuck.
Yeah.
Oh, the scratching sound is so horrible.
Yes.
Like that's a new thing.
Yes.
We've been seeing things, we've heard a few things, but the scratching is a really horrible thing. It just gets under your skin.
Is this where you learn? Is it this episode where you learn the
cause
of scratching?
Yeah.
Just the idea that it's that throwaway line one of the cops says, it's the cop who's questioning him.
Right.
Is like, oh, he had second thoughts.
Mm.
So this guy bricked himself up on the wall.
Yeah. And then tried to scratch his
way. And then was like, oh no. No, I need to get out.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? When the cop leaves and he turns back to Hugh and says, so is it true? And Hugh's like, what? And he goes, is this place haunted? Why would you ask that? You've just found a dead body in the wall. What a question.
Yeah.
That's love though the way he answers that is he's like, some of the kids are saying, but nah.
Yeah. In the cellar, we also get a huge acting moment, Mr. Dudley.
Yes.
His monologue is fucking powerful, man. Yeah. And it's the sound design too, which it's kind of like this, is it the fan? No, they don't have the fan yet, but it's like this weird,
it's the humidifier things trying to dry the walls out.
Yeah, but it kind of starts soft and then just creeps up throughout the scene.
Yeah.
It's really well made.
Mm.
It also just stays on him.
Yeah.
That whole
monologue
stays on him.
Again, it's Flanagan just giving the actors room to just fucking dominate.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
And it's come at such a great time too. Obviously, there's so much of the family to explore, but we have had the two Dudley characters in the background, and we know they're attached to the house in some way. So you're naturally thinking, well, they're maybe a bit malevolent themselves, maybe they're a bit evil or corrupted or whatever.
Because she's also a lot of the times you've seen her, she's not exactly the warmest person.
No, not at all.
She has that nice moment with Nell where she's like, it's your cup of stars.
Yes.
But otherwise, she's pretty cold to a lot of the other kids.
Yes.
And it comes from, in hindsight, it comes from she doesn't want them playing in this house.
Right.
She's scared for them.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the only reason she took the job.
That's it. And that's why I love for Mr. Dudley, like the care that he has, which obviously comes through in this monologue, is huge. And so it really does this huge reversal on these characters. And then obviously, yeah, we get Mrs. Dudley in the next episode, I think it is. Really good stuff. Just like, again, the timing of it is perfect across the series.
It's so him describing the panic and the fear and his wife breaking down. It's really unnerving to hear because of everything we've seen her presented as so far, which is just cold and stern, and she's almost like borderline. You watch her and you'd be like, is she a bit evil? Like, what's going on here?
Well, she's so together. Like, her outfit, her hair is so perfect. Yeah. Like,
So imagining that woman crying and running through the forest and just being terrified, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's all bad. I will say there's one of the nice, like a nice little thing is all the stuff with Hugh's version of Olivia. Where just when he's in the car with Cheryl. Just the don't. Because he can't, because again, and that's the problem with Hugh, he can't help himself. He has to think he can fix it. And even the fake version of Olivia's ghost that he carries with him, as, you know, widowers do, as he talks about in the ep, is that, like, the whole way through is just like, even that version of him is like, you can't fix this.
Stop it. Yeah.
Like, you can, but you've got to do it in the right way. But of course, he gets a crowbar and tries to pry the door open.
Of course,
Shirley's
he does.
Like, yeah, get fucked.
Does this episode end with the spook in Shirley's office?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what it ends.
They come in and the forever house has been destroyed and he's all like, I can fix it. And then, they see
the mum.
Yeah.
Crawls out towards him. Because that's the point then when they come out. Because she's angry at Theo still, won't speak to her. And then they come out and that's when you realise that Luke's gone. And they're trying to work it out and he's like standing there and you have Olivia being like, you saw him.
Yeah.
You saw him go.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck, that hits so hard.
Yeah. Mm. And one more thing on Olivia's ghost, or Hugh's version of Olivia's ghost, is one, I really like that we see more of the nicer aspect of her.
Yeah.
From his view of her, I guess, is really what it is. But also, it's such a great callback to episode one where Steve talks about what ghosts are. We're seeing this actual manifestation of it.
Yeah, it's a great call.
And even he has that conversation with Luke, like, later, like, at the wake, and Luke's a bit lost. And he's like, I see your mother every day.
Yeah.
I talk to her.
And, like, he literally does.
Just what I like is that for the whole time you think, oh, fuck, maybe he is seeing a ghost and maybe he is a bit crazy. But then he just explains, it's how I deal with it.
Yeah.
It's what gets me through every day.
Yep.
And it's okay to do that. It's kind of nice. But then Luke's like, nah, I'm going to go and make some bad choices. Lucky boy.
Yeah. Well, that is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
If you Scaredy listeners would like to email us and suggest some other shows for us to watch, you can do so by emailing us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter at Scaredy Boys. Or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
This is just Heart City.